I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 24, and I want to speak to you this morning concerning you and I as a church and wherever the church is in this television audience. On a Tuesday night in that watch night service, long sometime before midnight, I'm going to speak what I believe that God spoke to me. It's almost so revolutionary that I hesitate. But I believe that God has made something so real to my heart that I'm going to speak to you and I on a Tuesday night. And the people in this television audience, any human being that's interested in the things of God. But this morning, this is a text in Matthew 24 and 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And this is a very widely used text. This is one of those texts of the Bible that is always a good one to preach on. You can find a lot of things to go with that. As the days of Noah were. But I want to look into a new dimension of this often used text this morning. And I believe it's directly to the heart of the people sitting here. And no doubt to many people in the television audience. But I feel that we have pushed our way and been brought by God and circumstances to the close of an age. Knowing that Jesus is not coming after less than he came for, there has to be more than a thought in the mind of people that we're going to bring the church back to where it belongs. There has to be a burning passion in every believer's heart to fulfill the purpose of God in their own lives. You can't address the church collectively on an issue like this. It must be individually. To the hundreds of people sitting here this morning, each one of us are reduced to one. But as we hear it collectively, or individually, then God is able to work it out in a collective fashion. Now Jesus here says, in this 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, he's speaking, as the days of Noah were, so will it be in the time of his coming. And what he says is, that this last generation will end like the first one. There's no misunderstanding what he says. You don't have to guess how this age is going to end. If in this Bible there's any indication of how that antediluvian age ended, then I can tell you how this one's going to end. It's going to end in judgment. It's going to end, ladies and gentlemen, with a flood. It's going to end with a tribulation. A judgment of the end time is not going to be a flood, but a tribulation, a demon-possessed world. Those people that are not a part of that raptured church are going to be left here. In a world that makes our world look like a Sunday school picnic. You think it's bad out there. Breaking into homes, stealing the gifts from under Christmas trees. Murder was the key note of all the news of these holidays. Murder everywhere. Beaumont, Houston, wherever you go. Rape, violence, abuse of children. I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that time when the church is gone, and God's judgment in the form of the tribulation strikes this earth, what we are seeing now will be like a Sunday school picnic. Jesus said, this generation you live in is going to end in the exact same manner than that one ended. In the last 11 verses of the first chapter of the book of Romans, Paul vividly describes the end of that generation. As he progresses down through those 11 verses, from a believer to a reprobate, 11 verses. Not a more graphic piece of literature on this earth. As that generation and civilization passes through three give-ups of God and then face the judgment. They went from the unclean to the homosexual, from the homosexual to a reprobate mind. As they progressively moved away from God, the Bible said they didn't want to retain God in their knowledge. The name of God is a restraint to evil. And when a generation reaches a point, that point, then they have become reprobate in their thinking. I've demonstrated in the message of demon-possessed world how that this generation is beyond the third give up of God. Already beyond the third give up of God. It sets now, the next thing on the agenda is the coming of the Lord and the tribulation. So there's no question but when we've come to the end of this age. I don't think there's a person that knows anything about God or knows anything scientifically about the world that doesn't recognize that something of a catastrophic nature is about to take place on this earth. I can tell you what that something is. The Christ of God is going to come for His church. And this earth is going to find itself facing the wrath of God in a demon-possessed world. That's what's going to take place. We have come to the end of this age. But by comparing this time with Noah's day, we can see the door closing on this civilization. I don't have to guess. I know. I do not know that it'll happen today. I don't know that it won't happen today. I do not know it'll happen this week, next year. I can't tell you when it will happen, but I cannot tell you for sure that we'll ever leave this service without the coming of the Lord. By comparing that time of Noah with the day, I can see the day closing. Soon, I believe that you'll hear the click of that lock as that door closes. You hear me? I believe, listen, I'm talking to you, church. I haven't got what I want to tell you, the startling part of what he said to me. But I want to tell you that we have come to where soon you're going to hear the click of that lock. Things are not what they seem. You are sitting here, many of you in this television audience, you're doing better than you've ever done in your lives. Some are not doing so well, but we live in an affluent world. Drive good cars, most part live in good houses, have a good Christmas dinner. Everything looks good when I look at it with these eyes. But I can tell you that things are not what they seem. I said things are not what they seem. When those angels came to Sodom and talked to Lot, they told him that God was going to destroy that city and told him to get out of it. Lot said to the angels, tarry all night. Lot looking at it out of the eyes of a human that's a distance from God says to those angels, stay here with me tonight. But the angels, looking through the eyes of the Holy Ghost, said, escape for your life. Everything looked well in that city. Let me tell you something. The sun went down like it always went down. That hue of purple that always marks that world was there. The profligate, the children, and others were playing in the streets. That city, as the shadows began to cast over it, looked like any other night. But let me tell you something, gentlemen, ladies, that sun won't come up on that city. It'll burn before morning. It looked well, but it wasn't well. Our world looks good this morning, but it isn't good. We walk across hell on a rotten covering. We're moving toward a climax of time. This generation dances on their own funeral pier. We're watching an age end. The door is about to close on a generation of people that have rejected the gospel of Christ. The door, soon, we'll hear the click of that lock. And this is what I want to say to you. This is what I want to tell you. The click of that lock in that door will be as final as it was in Noah's day. And you forget what I've said if you have to, but you hear what I'm going to tell you. The click of that lock will be as final as it was in Noah's day. When that door closes, ladies and gentlemen, it's over. I said it's over. When Noah and his family were in the ark, The Bible said God shut them in Genesis 7 and 16. When that door closed, God closed that door. Noah didn't close that door, and Noah didn't open that door. Noah just operated in that parenthetical thing called time while God worked out the details. God opened the door to that antediluvian world, and God closed that door. And no matter that only 8 human beings is on that boat, when that door was closed, that's all that'll ever be on that boat. They're screaming when the floods came. They beat on the door. You don't say so in this book, but I know they did. They beat as that storm, as the fountains of the deep opened up, as earthquakes and volumes began to pour from beneath, and the floods came from above, and that old boat began to float out. They hung on to trees and rocks until they all perished. When that door closed, when the Bible said in Genesis 7 and 6 that God shut them in, it was over for the rest of the human family. I said it was over for all the rest of the human family. There's nobody else going to climb aboard that ark. God whispered to me as I was meditating and thinking on this service today and on the fact that this is the last Sunday of the year 1985. It's gone, my God. What have we done to change the situation? How much have I labored and poured and wept and prayed over the lost? How much of you? How much have I given myself and what I have? Have I just given a token? Have I given God the leftovers? Has it cost me? You listen to me. When that door closes, your mother's out. She'll never get in. When that door closes, Beaumont's lost. My God. It stands ajar this morning. I can almost hear it click, click. And sitting outside are the millions that are going to hell. Ain't going to open that no more. No, no. Noah may have said, oh God, why don't you let John in? But nobody else is getting in here. That was final, mister. Can you hear me? The click of that lock on that ark was final, mister. That rope finished. Boss, over with. Finished for millions, millions, facing a wrath unimaginable. He didn't just like a rain, mister. The fountains of the deep broke up. Earthquake in Mexico was nothing. What happened that day? I'm telling you, God is saying to us, God is saying to us, as it was then, so will it be now. As it was in that day, it's going to be tomorrow. He says very plainly to you, to me, today is the day of salvation. You say, I've got it. Yes, but how many don't have it? We're saying, well, if they want to get saved, they can come to the church. That isn't where it's at all. I said, that isn't where it's at all. We come here to receive, but we may have something out there to give. Let me tell you, God is saying, today is a day of salvation. I watched the year 1985 roll by. I shook the hands of people that's in hell in 1985. I shook the hands of people that are in hell tonight. You said hello, goodbye, shook hands, did business with people that have gone to hell. I mean, the door of the ark hasn't slammed shut, but in that moment it slammed shut on those people. Amen. What did you do about their soul? Were you concerned about the conditions? Have you carried a burden? Have you been able to weep over this city, this triplex, this golden triangle, over Port Neches, Needle and Vider, Beaumont, Salisbury? Have you wept over it like Jesus wept over Jerusalem? Where has the burden? Have I lived at ease? My God, I have to answer. For the most part, yes. Yes. And you will move to a finality. As it was in the days of Noah. As it was then. So will it be now. It will close. I said, it will close. Listen, the building of that ark, Peter wrote, said, was the long suffering of God. He could have built that ark in a year. God told him how to build it. God had wanted it built in a year. It could have been built in a year. But it was held out over a period, a long period of 120 years. And the building of that ark, and the Bible said that was a long suffering of God. He loved those antediluvians. He allowed them 120 years of grace that they may turn from their wickedness to God. But listen, there came a time when that long suffering ended. You know, a thing goes on a while. We get into the church and somebody preaches that Jesus is coming and we're excited about it. But we've been saved 10 years and somebody says Jesus is coming. And our wicked carnal hearts say, I've been listening to that for 10 years, 20 years. And it's become a familiar thing to us. That's what happened in Noah's day. For 120 years, the long suffering of God reached out. But there came a time in a moment when the door slammed and the long suffering is over and men went to hell wholesale. Wholesale. Millions. Not a living thing on the earth. And the man of God looked out the book. Listen, this world sets the night. I said, this world sets the night on a nuclear holocaust. In the hands of more countries than you like to imagine. In a time when anything can set it off. World War One was kicked off by the assassination of one human. World War II by an attack on Pearl Harbor. You don't know what all was behind it all. As far as me is concerned, it was kicked off. Kicked off in Europe by Hitler. One more than he had, but we live. Here just 2 days ago, the airport in Rome, the airport in Vienna, they attacked the LR counties indiscriminately. Killed people from all kinds of nationalities. The glory of God for life. Listen, that's the devil. He's a murderer. He has no feeling for anything. That spirit walks this earth today. You and I, listen, I'm telling you that the age is closing. Millions are walking over hell on a rotten covering, dancing on their own funeral pier. Amen. Without God, they go. The lounges are filled. You drive across the city, the lounges are filled. I go home on a Sunday night, and I see maybe two-thirds of this church has enough energy to get back on a Sunday night to enjoy the worship of God. But as I drive by to get down Brown, there's hundreds of cars out there. They've got time to go. They sit there in darkness. Listen, they're reaching out somewhere down in that spirit. There's a disturbance. They're trying to drown it out, crowd it out, push it out. But what it is, they're sitting in darkness trying to see a light. And the church has kept it the best secret of the universe. All those television programs, but it doesn't really relate to a personal human. It's so easy to sit there with millions of others. Watch a tube that you can turn off anytime you want to. And relate that to everybody else but yourself. Relate it to everybody else. The church herself owes us. The door of God's mercy is ajar today. Tomorrow, it may kick closed. Isaiah wrote that hell is enlarging itself for the coming millions. Think about it. Hell, I believe. Now that's what all these volcanoes are about. All over the world, blowing out. I mean, the cavity must be getting bigger down there. As that lava, the billions of tons, is blown out. Hell is enlarging itself, making room for the millions that are heading in that direction. The light that shines today could be darkness tomorrow. I said it could be darkness tomorrow. It could be over. Along with this, though, came the awesome fact that you and I are totally, absolutely responsible. And you don't go to sleep on me now. There may be a day left. There may be a year. There may be, I don't know, 10 years. Whatever there is left before that lock clicks shut on the mercies of God. Millions, faith, hang the balance strictly on what you do, what I do, on the commitment we're willing to make to such a thing. You hear me? To the commitment we're willing to make. We are totally responsible. We must give Christ. You hear me? We must give Christ. We must sacrifice ourselves and our money or sacrifice this generation. We make that choice. I said, we make that choice. You sit here, and if things are more important to you than that generation, then you sacrifice that generation. Not the devil, but you, me, the church that's been given the responsibility of going into all the world and teaching all nations and stand before God this morning totally guilty before the Almighty. Amen. If there's people out there, we are further behind now than we were when it started. The only generation ever reached their generation was the first generation of the church. Since then, it's progressively moved backward. Till tonight, out of 4.5 billion people, moving toward 5 billion people on this planet, nearly 3 billion of them, 3,000 million, have never heard the name of Christ. They perish without ever hearing the name of Christ. And whether you want to hear it or not, you in this television audience, you sitting in this church, we're responsible for those people. What can I do? Well, a sight more than we have. I said, a lot more than we have. Yes, sir. We can allow the Almighty to touch our spirits with a compassion and a burden that He had. Amen. He loved you. He saw you perishing without hope. Looked across the times. The Bible says in Psalms 2 and 8, ask of me and I'll give you the heathen. That message was addressed to Christ and of course ultimately to us. But when He asked for that heathen, He's looking at that cross. You hear me? You can't have that heathen unless you die. That's the message. We can't have this generation unless we're willing to sacrifice ourselves. But we'll either sacrifice ourselves or this generation. Do you hear me? We either make this a matter of passion and burning. Let the Holy Spirit look through our eyes of the world of precious. We can go on with this every day as usual. If they want it, they can get it. Amen. They ain't going to get it. They're bound and fettered up there. You can talk about the free will all you want to. But the Bible says He took them captive at His will. And Isaiah said He won't open the doors of His prisons. No, somebody's got to kick them down. Somebody's got to break the lock. Somebody's got to release them. I was a captive. You was a captive. There's no way out of this without Calvary. You hear me? There's no way out. Paul took in the book of Romans, he reigns ages from eternity to eternity and demonstrated that I can't change my color by taking thought. You can't change yours. A leopard can't change his spot. You can't add a cubit to your statue. It doesn't matter if you're born a Hebrew or the Hebrew. If your mother's the holiest woman ever lived, you are lost. You yourself must come. There was no hope, none whatsoever. But in due time, Christ died for me in an ungodly state. And now He's saying to that church, you are my body. Paul said, fill up the suffering that's lacking. You know what that means? I believe as much as anything, it means that I am willing to do without. I was here. You know the Lord talking to me on this line. And on a Friday, I drove up to Tyler. Bob and I, we drove up, we had dinner with Minister Shambach. He had a 1985 Mark 7. And he's going to let me have, just so much less than what you can buy one in for. But you know, as I thought on this and drove along this, I said, oh my God, 3,000 million people need Christ a lot more than I need a Mark 7. My God, let me see this. Let me feel what he felt when he looked across 2,000 years and saw this miserable alcoholic. Oh, let him see what he saw when he looked at you and you and you. Let me see what he saw when he had pity and compassion on such as I. Unless he will sacrifice himself, he'll sacrifice me. If he says to God, I refuse to die. If at that moment, as he said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But then his prayer came, not my will but thine. If he had said, instead of not my will but thine, if he had said, I'm not going to bear it, then instead of sacrificing himself, he would have sacrificed me. And the attitude that you take toward this generation is going to determine whether we sacrifice our money, ourselves, our generation without Christ in this little thing called time. It's a vapor. I've been living here longer than 60 years. It seems like yesterday. The years mark me. I have one birthday and there's another one. And I listened yesterday on the phone as I tried to talk to Brother Sutton. He couldn't talk. The 94 years have caught up. He's going to go. But it's just like yesterday. Yesterday, 94 years is nothing. The Lord is going to live forever. Oh, I spend my life running over this. It lasts but a moment. Allow those out there to lose eternity. Listen, church. 1985 is about over. It looks like we're going to at least get into 1986. What is going to be the choice? Is it going to be me as usual? I don't think the wife and I went shopping once. We did it was once. We went out here at Sam's and bought groceries. And I watched the people pushing each other, shoving each other. And out of the trash of this world, to squander it on people and just as soon return it and get the cash for it this morning. To a people, as Brother Miller and I were talking, that Christmas is every day. And I was a boy, you got nothing. I got anything on Christmas, it was Christmas. Christmas is every day. The gift has to be bigger. They said, what are you going to get people that's got everything? My God, give them nothing. Give them nothing. Give it to reach a people that are dying, that are going to hell, instead of pushing and shoving so that those department stores can come out with record sales and get rich on us and squander the money to promote hell on this earth. Why don't the church feel what he felt? Listen, we'll either sacrifice ourselves or this generation, and the choice is ours. We must decide now. Time is running out. When the door of that are closed, no message from Noah would prevail. Ain't no preaching. It's all over. Listen, Christ isn't served by sitting on a pew learning more truth, which we do not intend to put into practice. Christ is received in the church. The Bible said each one of us supplies. I come here to get. But he served in the marketplace. I said he served in the marketplace. If we can work with people and be concerned about their soul, there's something wrong talking about experience. And we can live in luxury while the gospel suffers. The finances to be preached, and we don't feel what he felt. God whispered to me, "You'll soon hear the click of that rock. And when it clicks, it will be as final as Noah's day, as the days of Noah were. I've extended a moment of lap over. And when it closes, that's over. The lost will be lost forever. I said the lost will be lost forever. As it was in the days of Noah. It's not over. You perish. The church sleeps in light while the world sleeps in darkness. Brother Michael's message, heathens praying while the churches are sleeping. And Jonah, the only man on the boat that knew God, down in the bottom, sleeping. Heathens on the top, praying. God help us. We sacrifice ourselves and what we have. Or we sacrifice this generation. Are you here?